Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
Star Trek Podcast.
We're on a mission to protect something beautiful. The future of humanity. And I think you know from experience just how fragile that future is. We are maybe hours away from losing that future entirely. You are the only person I can trust to help us.
We both have brain-melting secrets. Is, I guess, a good enough reason to help someone? What do you need?
An engineer.
Well, then, why the hell did you come to me?
You're not an engineer.
I work retail. Does this look like an engineer's engineering place? I haven't taken a math class since Pythagoras made the crap up.
All right, how about this? I propose we begin the podcast.
So this one's 193.
Yes, this one is 100 episodes.
This is amazing.
Whoops.
Episode? No, it's all right, Dan. Welcome to episode 193 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Mm-hmm. You have arrived in the correct digital location to listen to the It's Got Star Trek podcast, or at least to this particular episode of that podcast. And in this episode, we will be discussing Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 2, Episode 3, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow. And that is the episode we shall be discussing today.
I caught it was hard to find, but I caught it.
What are you talking
tomorrow
about?
And tomorrow and tomorrow.
They said it.
Okay, yes, you're right. The characters when they say the episode title. How about we do a little recap of that? Because you caught me
and
a little off guard.
And tomorrow.
That doesn't sound 100% convincing.
I'm digging that.
I don't know. That's you gotta call up Star Trek.
I am
Strange
digging
New Worlds and talk to them about it, man.
Okay. All right. So we might do that. We might call up Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
Call them up
per Dan's directive. Okay. So for a little outline of what we're going to be doing this evening, yes, we are going to be discussing that episode. However, just a reminder that these are catch-up episodes. The last episode,
they're not mustard episodes.
The previous episode 192 and this episode 193 are catch-up episodes.
They're not mustard episodes.
Jesse and I had a slightly ill-timed vacation because we bought the plane tickets prior to the schedule being laid out. So
yeah,
we missed two episodes. We're going to be back on our regular schedule this Monday with episode 194, a full chunky episode discussing where the Lotus Eaters dine. What was it? No, eating with...
I don't know.
eating with the Lotus Eaters.
So...
eating lotus plants on a planet.
Mm-hmm.
That whatever that episode is, episode 4, but that's not what we're discussing
Eat
here.
Some flowers.
We are having an embriefed discussion of episode 3 of season 2 of Strange New Worlds, and that episode is called what
tomorrow
is it called?
And tomorrow.
Yes.
And tomorrow.
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 And tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
And
tomorrow.
And
tomorrow.
And
tomorrow.
And
tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
And
tomorrow.
And
tomorrow.
And
perhaps to the surprise of no one, It is a time travel episode.
They're digging in that well. Digging
well,
in the
okay.
And like a Shakespearean kind of referencey thing.
Wait, yeah. Okay.
Always doing this shit.
Where'd you guys go? Didn't you guys go to
Toronto?
Isn't that where you went?
Where?
Toronto.
No.
That doesn't sound.
I have been to Toronto.
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 Three times.
The biggest city in what used to be called Canada.
Yes. I've been to Toronto a few times. I really enjoyed
Toronto.
Funny
that he thought it was New York.
Toronto is a wonderful city, and partly there's the meta fun of it being that this is where they film the show. So just like the old Star Treks used to always end up looking like they were in Southern California because
it's Toronto.
They were hanging out in LA.
The biggest city in what used to be called Canada.
They're saving a lot of money by filming a time travel episode in their backyard.
This is amazing.
And the poutine in Toronto is indeed amazing.
Poutine.
Really?
Poutine has gravy?
Toronto. The biggest city in what used to be called Canada.
Poutine has gravy.
Just like you've never been. Just like you've never been. Just like you've never been.
Poutine. The biggest city in what used to be called Canada.
Poutine.
This is
poutine
amazing.
Just like you've never been. Biggest city in what used to be called Canada. Poutine.
Amazing.
Poutine has gravy. Just like you've never been.
This is amazing.
It is.
I've never been to Earth at all.
Okay.
So he's never been to Earth, and the poutine in his universe has no gravy.
Apparently, that's a good point. I was trying to think of like why was he so surprised it had gravy? He was like, as if he said it as if something else like poutine has gravy. Like he knew, like he'd heard of poutine, but he'd never heard of it with gravy.
Well, I think he's had it. He knows poutine, but yeah. The version that he knows doesn't have
that makes gravy. Actually the most sense to me what Jesse said.
So what does it have?
Who knows?
I know.
You know, time travel. This is a good time travel episode. It's always interesting. They go through like there's like different obvious. First of all, like I said in the previous episode, they trust.
We're talking about episode 192 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Yes,
which we discussed. Ad Aspera. No, Ad Astra.
Ad Aspera.
Ad Astra per Aspera.
Yes,
that was that was what we discussed in the previous episode.
Yes,
but so, in this episode.
We talk about time travel.
Yes.
And so with time travel, they trusted us with the time travel logic. They did not trust us last episode with the bringing the legal
logic.
Stuff.
So, yeah.
And also they didn't trust
us. And what
us.
You're specifically referring to is a complaint about specific pieces of exposition in the previous episode that made some of the characters look dumb.
Yeah.
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 Just to clarify.
Yeah, and in this episode...
For those odd audience members that for some reason are listening to this episode, but not to the previous episode.
Which
is totally plausible that those people exist.
Yeah, basically, that's about as
much. Not everyone has the number thing where they got to watch the episodes in order and then listen to the podcast episodes in order. That's fine.
That's totally fine.
But in case you are one of those people...
People got to be different.
We do recommend you do listen to episode 192.
You should next season of Star Trek Strange New Worlds, you should wait till all of them come out, then watch them in random order and see what happens.
I should do that?
Yes, you should do that. I don't want to do that, so you should do it.
Okay. Are we still going to do the podcast?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I just won't have watched it.
I didn't think that far ahead, all right? I didn't think that far ahead. But, okay, so...
So the entire season, I won't get to watch any of the episodes because I have to save them all up.
Oh, that too.
You'll have to sit here and
listen
to
we'll
us
do the
talk
podcast.
About
we'll just do the podcast at the end, yeah.
No, that doesn't work because we have put out weekly content without interruption since 2019.
We can do an experimental...
Since before COVID.
We can do an experimental thing where we do 10 episodes on one of the short treks. Would you do 10 episodes
I would happily do that. I just don't want to look like we're ripping off Unplanned Trek, who are doing, on their Patreon, they are doing Star Trek 5 1 minute at a time. Now, their podcast...
Doing what? 1 minute at a time? 1 minute? One
yes.
minute? 1 minute at a time? 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 1 minute at a time?
Yes. 1 minute at a time?
I'm glad you enjoyed that. But they are indeed the Unplanned Trek guys. They are doing 1 minute of Star Trek 5, The Final Frontier. Now, their discussions aren't 1 minute. Their discussions are much longer than 1 minute, but that's a very clever idea. But what the idea you're talking about is not the same, but it is similar.
Similar.
And we want to be original.
Original.
So if we do something like that, we should team up with the Unplanned Trek fellas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. I think that's it's a date.
That's the solution.
It's a date.
Aren't they on like the other side of the world?
They are in Tasmania, yeah. Australia.
Oh, damn. I didn't know they were in Tasmania.
Jam capital of the world.
No, I do that. I'm sorry.
And of course you can do that. It's
we've talked about that before.
Just is playing dumb.
I mean, I knew they were in Australia. I forget about the
Yeah, they're in the even cooler part of Australia.
Yeah.
We'll have to fly to Australia and live there.
Ooh, that's
to
a
do
long
the podcast
flight.
With them. I mean, we could do it remotely, but I think it'd be more fun if we just moved to Tasmania.
Can we stop a couple times before we get to, so it doesn't seem like it's such a long trip?
I don't think there is even a direct flight if we wanted the direct flight. Okay, so cool. I think we will be stopping
like
in
Japan
or Hawaii,
yeah.
Or Fiji.
Okay.
One of those places.
That sounds cool.
You know, we might have to fly through Sydney.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Or Melbourne.
I'll be able to help you guys find it because
guy at the Apple store taught me how to use DuckDuckGo.
I use DuckDuckGo.
That was funny.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally support DuckDuckGo. It's just in like to reference that in a show makes me think that they sponsored them or something, or I don't know. Like, I just don't know. DuckDuckGo is fantastic.
It did seem like product placement.
Yeah, I'm not at all trying to talk down on anything here because DuckDuckGo is fantastic. It's just you don't usually hear DuckDuckGo mentioned in a show. Like you'd hear Bing before you'd hear DuckDuckGo. So unless they have a personal,
I see you have a machine that goes Bing.
Yeah, Bing.
Neil knows Ned. Yeah. Ned the head.
So it was interesting. Maybe they just have a personal connection with DuckDuckGo. But oh, by the way, before I forget.
By the by.
Apparently.
Before you forget what, I'm not entirely sure what we've been talking about. we're talking about tomorrow.
Breaking news.
You have a breaking sound effect?
Oh, God, damn.
Like glass tinkling or like an isolinear rod snapping in half. Can you get a recording of that? Wait, what is that?
Breaking news.
Okay.
Ooh.
All right.
What's the news, my friend?
Okay, tell us the breaking news.
For the episode titled...
Smur.
And...
Smur.
And...
Smur.
The internet does, in fact, exist in Star Trek, according to this episode.
Well, not just in this
world.
Yeah,
but not until later, and then before. I don't know. I might skip some classes in temporal mechanics. I don't know how this works.
Yeah, but I mean, that is the question about like the one of the questions about the timeline. Is there like there's like the back in time and then the forward in time?
Gotta get back in time.
There's the back in time and there's the forward in time, and then there's the forward in time part. There's the back in time.
They explain all those. In Back to the Future 2, this is all explained.
No, there's the back in time part where
this is
I'm not done. I'm not done.
Biff going back in time.
I'm not done.
Sports almanac.
I am not done. This is the part where you go back in time. Okay, you go forward and you go back in time.
Okay,
and then you go back to forward in time, and then you go back and if you're forward. Wait a second. If you're forward in time and you go back in time, that means your future was in your past and your past was actually part of the future.
Right.
So you have your own timeline thing, which they, now you can go.
Okay. Well, yes, there are always, when it comes to time travel, certain conundrums that are difficult to parse out. Mm-hmm. Star Trek has not stuck to one particular style of time travel device. It uses whichever... Mm-hmm. style of time travel and makes sense for the story that they're trying to tell.
Right. And this goes true for all like shows and stuff and movies and things. They sort of pick their time travel angle. There's the kind where it's like butterfly effect, right? Where one little change changes everything. This is not one of those episodes. There's this type of time travel episode where they have to go back in time to prevent the bad.
This is a time cop episode.
This is the where they have to go back in time to prevent like the big event from happening in order to change so their future can be normal. But then the butterfly effect would of course say that, well, you back in time, you like kicked a rock somewhere and that changed the course of the future. It's definitely so you have these two schools of sort of time travel episodes, and then there's all sorts of other rules that come into play like the past is the future and stuff. But that always wondered about that, you know. It's like when you go back in time and you prevent the big thing from happening, that would imply that time is like a stream, and throwing a pebble in the stream does not affect its overall flow, versus if you were to, you know,
use flow.
Which is, and what you describe is not always, but often the position that Star Trek takes,
mm-hmm.
right? Although even though perhaps in reality it would be more, you'd have to bring in the chaos theory where a minor change to initial conditions will result in very different conditions down the line. But of course, we can set most of that aside in the context of dramatic storytelling, where the actual point of the story at least as I understand it. It's sort of like a philosophical discussion of what to do with a bad heritage sort of thing, right? If you are directly related to, say you were the grandchild of Hitler, that sort of thing. What responsibility falls on you based on that association, and how should that figure into your life? And there's a bunch of different positions you could take. In this one, they sort of land on the whole, like, La'an being like, look, you're your own, and this is the second episode in a row where the message is for La'an, the message is, you're your own person, you're capable of good and bad, but that's on you. It's not something that you are burdened with, and it's not something that you can be absolved of. It's all on you, because Neera basically says the same thing in the previous episode, which we discussed in episode 192 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. The name of that episode was Ad Astra Per Aspera.
Nice. All right.
Nice. All right. Got through it.
You did it.
Yes.
You did the thing.
And in that episode, there's a brief encounter with La'an and the lawyer Neera, who is trying to tell her, look, your genes is not what's important. What's important is what you do with whatever those genes have given you.
That's
what
the opposite of the message of Beowulf.
Yes, yes, I would agree with that. to a large degree, you're right. That is the opposite of messages in Beowulf.
So, they trusted us with the time travel logic, in the sense that I like that Kirk was immediately just like, wait a second, if we fix this, I'm dead. Like, yes. they didn't beat around the bush with that one. They weren't like, they didn't pull out a chalkboard. Like, Back to the Future was cool. That was way back when. But like, it's getting a little old when they pull out the whole explain how time travel works situation. Kirk was just like, oh, I die, right? And then they don't go on to like tell you why he doesn't exist. It's like they know the audience knows that, which I appreciated. They did not trust us later, though, with a literary reference of the Scarlet Letter, because they referenced the Scarlet Letter and then they immediately went on to explain that reference when she was talking about how she had a Scarlet Letter, and Kirk was all playing dumb, right. like he's like, I don't know what you're talking about, and then she explains what it is. He's like, yeah, I knew, I was just messing with you, you know. Unless they were trying to make him look like he like was pretending to know when he didn't, which I don't think they were.
I hadn't even considered what you're describing here, but now I think you're right, is that it was a form of exposition. I thought I was just going with the whole they were having Kirk be fun and flirty, which they were.
But then I think
they were using him being fun and flirty. They were piggybacking on top of that, in case the audience is not familiar with the book The Scarlet Letter by Hawthorne, we can accentuate that here.
In the Kirk of any universe is going to be, you know, well read.
Yes. He is intended to be a well read walking library. There is a lot to talk about with regard to Paul Wesley's portrayal of Kirk. I wasn't the biggest fan of his portrayal of Kirk in last season's
Lost Your Mind.
A Quality of Mercy. I liked him a lot better in this episode. Paul Wesley's clearly, he's a great actor. He's really good.
I'm from space.
I was able to buy...
Yeah, she's from space, too.
I was able to buy this whole whirlwind romance. I mean, it's not a romance, but, you know, like, that's sort of a side effect of the what they've gone through and all that. He pulled that off well. I thought that he and La'an really did connect very well. He doesn't feel very Kirky to me.
Oof.
Even when they have him doing Kirk stuff. I thought it was awesome that they had him being a genius at chess, because as we recall from the court-martial episode that we discussed just a few weeks back, Kirk was always beating Spock. Chess. Yeah, Kirk regularly beat Spock at chess.
Right.
And that was playing with the stereotype, where they do it here too. He calls her out on the stereotype. He's like, do I not look like a thinking five steps ahead kind of guy? And
by the way, that whole chess winning montage, the song was called This Is It by the Home of Happy.
Is that what that was?
Yeah, and that was like I'm winning at chess. Look how good this guy is. Who is this guy? He's winning all this money.
I was digging a lot of the musical cues, a lot of the song cues in this episode, like with the car chase scene was pretty rad.
That was interesting. That was really interesting.
Some punk rocky type business.
I enjoyed that song, actually. I thought it was kind of rocking, but it was weird that they put it in there for a couple reasons.
That you are going to tell us
when
after you load one. Up
the appropriate portion of your notes on the computer.
Do you have anything else to add?
I will just make the observation that I enjoy that I'm an observant fellow by nature, and I get to sit here and watch you guys doing all this podcasting business. And I like that when Dan's got
watching you podcast,
you can tell when Dan's looking up stuff because he does that, what he just did, talking all robot voice. But with Jesse writes his notes on paper, so you start hearing the papers all like flipping back and forth. And he's like, "Oh man, I'm trying to find that note." And so you just got different styles of doing it.
Jesse, I think Patrick's given us the business.
No, I'm not. I'm just.
He's observing.
I'm observing. I'm observing and reporting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, you were talking about that punk rock song was.
It was called.
There was weird reasons for them to.
It was called Modern Art by Black Lips. I never heard of.
Are they
before.
A Canadian band?
Black
are they a,
Lips.
Are they a Toronto band?
I don't know. But so first of all, it was a weird start.
Did they say process?
I don't know.
And project.
They had Toronto.
It was a weird choice for a Star Trek.
Do they use loonies and toonies when they? When they're buying stuff at the store, you know, a loony. It's a currency.
It's got a bird on it.
The only time they've come close to playing a song like this would be Sabotage in, New Star Trek 3?
Star Trek Beyond.
Yeah, they played Sabotage, but that was part of the plot.
Like the Beastie Boys?
Yeah.
And it's also a joke because Captain Kirk says Sabotage.
He says Sabotage.
Oh,
right.
Man. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Subterfuge.
Whoops.
Well, I think we just got a little clue into how Dan organizes his clips.
Sabotage.
Alphabetically. So
this wasn't part of the plot. It was just the background. It was a chase montage.
Yes.
And it was like the background music. I don't think they've ever played a song of like kind of like that as the background music. Also, the lyrics at one part was K-hole at the dolly, seeing the unknown. Well, I might have been on Molly. Because my mind's being blown. They mentioned taking Molly in
was
the
that,
song.
Was that in the full song or was it in the actual song during the episode? Like, did you hear those lyrics during the episode?
During the episode, it's you hear
is
it during
that
the episode.
Like a real song.
It even appears on the closed captioning.
From our universe, or do you think it's a real song from their universe?
I don't know. Do you think they got that?
I like the idea of Captain Kirk going into a K-hole. You know, taking too much. That's what too much ketamine, isn't it? And when you take too much ketamine,
sounds like
you go into a K-hole.
Yeah. Sounds
like your
I don't
psyche
know.
Spirals down into some business.
I'm not really
I've never
sure.
been in one myself.
Pull yourself out of a K-hole by taking some MDMA.
I hadn't thought about that, but now that you mention it,
AKA Molly,
like
Ecstasy.
So I just thought it was kind of weird they're singing about, but it was a rocking song. Like, I really
it
liked that song.
It was a rocking song about drugs. That was a rocking song about drugs to play during a car chase.
I mean, the music was like, yeah, we're rocking, but it just felt like kind of out of place, but that's not a bad thing. It's just, it was different.
I enjoyed the music. I enjoyed that the car chase was not a ridiculous car chase. It was a fairly pedestrian car chase because it was shot in a relatively realistic fashion, like a 1980s cop show car chase.
I thought it was sort of interesting because you see they jump in the car and Kirk like can't drive. And there's that other episode of TOS.
A piece of the action.
Right, where he can't drive. But then all of a sudden he's doing like some fancy ass drive.
But that's the same thing happens.
It's because he's got a super cool car here.
In a piece of the action, the same thing happens where he gets in and can't drive it at first, but then he's tooling around in it. And we discussed a piece of the action a long time ago.
I recall
that being a really fun episode.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Not only a fun episode to discuss, but I think it was a fun podcast episode. So scroll back in the film.
They're always fun, man.
Or go to our website www.discussstartrek.com and you can like sort. You can do a search. Type in a piece of the action. You can find that episode.
Tiberius is not insane.
Nobody calls him
Sam Aurelius Augustus Benedictus Kirk.
Well, here's what else is not insane. What's not insane is when we take a break. We take a break because it offers we three hosts a brief chance at a respite and to reset our brains a little bit. And it offers the audience a much needed mental break. Mental respite. Yeah.
Brief mental respite. All the time.
From all this business, from all this podcasting nonsense. Okay. We will be right back with our discussion of tomorrow. Be right back.
And tomorrow.
Okay. We're back.
You were looking at
Le'an Noonien Sung.
Okay, Kirk, calm down.
K Kirk, calm down. K Kirk, get out of that K hole.
I was thinking about when we went to break, I could like get away from the mic and start screaming like, what the fuck was that? So, like, when you and then you would leave it in the recording for some reason.
Maybe next time.
Yeah, but there's no outtakes. There's no bloopers in podcasts. You know, no.
Well, we need to have a blooper reel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the real good ones are the ones that make it to live TV and you didn't want them to. Oh, those are the most embarrassing ones, which is why some people think they're the best. But to me, they make me all crawly.
Well, we could do a live podcast.
Yeah, let's start doing live podcasts on YouTube. And no doubt.
Do you think the world is ready for that?
No, I don't think we're ready for that.
Yeah, we're not.
All right.
Not
cool. Maybe someday.
Okay.
Demon is on it.
Denobulin's on it. There's a Denobulin. First Denobulin we've seen in a million years, which was in the beginning of the episode when Lon was going with a little montage of Lon dealing with security problem business.
He was in a Denobulin prison.
Well, yeah, there was a mention of that too, but I'm speaking specifically if we see a Denobulin arguing with the transporter chief, the newer transporter chief.
Who's a Denobulin?
The person who was arguing, like La'an was. It was one of the first ones.
But what, I mean, in previous Star Trek.
Oh, Dr. Phlox.
Oh, okay.
Dr.
Okay.
Phlox. Like I have Dr. friends.
Right, he's a Denobulin.
Is that Dr. Phlox?
Yeah.
What's he saying? Have friends.
Well, that part I know. What's the other one?
He's just
hemming and hawing there?
Exclaiming isn't quite the right word.
Yeah, it's hemming and hawing. Is it Dr. Phlox hemming and hawing?
Yeah, that's
feel free to change the label right now if that's helpful. You can type in Phlox hemming and hawing.
That means I have to change the file name.
Well, he's not quite hemming and hawing anyway, so I'm just saying it because it sounds funny to say hemming and hawing. But having said that and squeezed the humor out of that bit, I do want to make sure that the audience understands that I understand that, strictly speaking, he's not hemming and hawing there. That could be a component of hemming and hawing, but that short clip is not sufficient to call it both hemming and hawing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to lay that out there. Mm-hmm. All right. Tomorrow and tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
And tomorrow.
No.
Yes, so Denobulin.
No.
Did you notice the hot dogs, right? There's a whole business with the hot dogs. Whole wheat buns. Why are they ordering whole wheat bun hot dogs? Is that a Toronto thing?
I didn't even notice that.
I've been in Toronto.
It's an alternate
I love
universe.
Toronto. If you haven't been to Toronto, get there. It's the fastest growing city in North America, maybe the world. They're building a million fucking huge buildings.
It's not that far away.
The CN Tower is fucking out of sight. No joke. Go up the CN Tower. If you go up the CN Tower, you go look at the fucking Space Needle in Seattle. Sorry, I love Seattle, but the Space Needle is fucking lame compared to the CN Tower. CN Tower is way better than the Space Needle. There's other things that are great about Seattle, but the CN Tower is awesome. So go to Toronto and go to the CN Tower. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just type in, go to DuckDuckGo and type in CN Tower.
Poutine's got gravy.
You can get some poutine up on the CN Tower observation deck, I think.
They have legal cannabis?
Anyway, yes, but they were, I don't know if that's a Canadian thing or not. I haven't heard of that, but yeah, both the hot dogs, when I watched them on my giant-ass TV, when I watched it on the computer, I didn't notice the whole wheat stuff, but on the TV, it looked like they were whole wheat. There were some like fucking rye-ass hot dog buns.
Okay, because I thought they mentioned it and I missed it or something.
No, they didn't mention it. You're just observed it. It's not like Captain Kirk was not like, hey, would you like some fucking hot dogs on whole wheat buns? Lanunian Singh. he was just holding her hot dogs that were comically, you know, where they did that thing?
Lanunian Singh.
They did that thing where he's holding out the hot dogs and they like comically had them be a little floppy, like a little floppy out. And he's like waving them around and they're flopping around just a little bit. And they're whole wheat buns with no ketchup and no mustard. I don't think there was anything on them. Just raw, not raw, but just sort of like boiled ass pink, floppy ass hot dogs in whole wheat buns that cost a couple of loonies, a couple of toonies.
Maybe their universe doesn't have ketchup or mustard.
But this was before the change happened. This was before the diversion in the timeline.
I see. Okay.
Anyway.
I am your superior officer, and I am ordering you to have a hot dog.
Number one,
I order you to go take a number two.
So we talked a little bit about Paul Wesley's Kirk. And again, I really like him in this episode. I think the whole story works. I really love this episode, frankly. But he's not very Kirkish. And a lot of people keep referring to him as Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
And that scene with the hot dog is one of those ones that sort of comes across a little like that, where he's too tall to be Kirk. He's too skinny.
Poutine
he's
has
a lanky
gravy.
Dude.
Yeah. And not that you can't, of course, you can have different portrayals of stuff. It's just, sometimes it's a little hard to square this particular character who has dark hair and is tall and skinny and has different voice and different mannerisms with the character.
Thanks for that.
That we've, you know, sort of not.
Because the Spock dude is pretty much getting the spot.
Oh, Ethan Peck is fantastic.
Pretty solid dude.
Yeah, and he does a lot of the Spock mannerisms. Now, to Paul Wesley's credit, I do think he does some Kirk mannerisms very well. One thing he does is he does a couple times where he holds
his hands. I can also make Pamik soup in the toilet.
He sort of like holds his hands open.
Is it that one?
No, it was where he's like holding his hands open. He's occasionally kind of being like, what the fuck? And Kirk kind of does that. He holds himself in a few Kirk-like ways. But then there's other times where it's just like, it's not working for me. But it works well enough that it did not really impact the enjoyment of this episode. And I think that's plenty of credit to Paul Wesley.
Yeah, I mean, I find I enjoy him. I enjoy watching him and stuff like that. It's just hard for me to relate it to Kirk. Is all.
It's a little, the disconnect pops up when you're reminded, this is supposed to be Captain James Tiberius Kirk.
And it's kind of like, I think like, I don't want to get too hung up on that, though, simply because it's like, how can you, what is he supposed to do? Yeah. Like a William Shatner impression, you know, at the same
time? Of course.
But no, I know what you mean. Like, there's a way to do it, I guess. But at the same time, it's like, I don't even know how you're supposed to approach something like that.
I think part of it is, and I don't want to say this in an unkind way because it's not meant that way. Paul Wesley is not sort of like I hate to use this term, but that sort of leading man, that leading man category where Anson Mount is, William Shatner is there. They fit that mold. And I don't mean leading man as in they're the better person. I mean, there is a certain sort of character that people have grown to expect. Now, I don't think we should necessarily be beholden to that. I think it's great to try different things. And I think Paul Wesley is being entertaining and being fun, but there's sort of two things to wrestle with here. First of all, he doesn't really come off as very Kirk-like in many ways, so that's a bit of a problem. And then there's sort of the more meta problem of, do we really need to be seeing much Kirk anyway on this show that's supposed to be about Captain Pike?
Right, it is kind of weird that they keep putting some Kirk in there.
Now, here, to their credit, at least from my very subjective viewpoint,
Kirk's brother even.
You can do whatever you want if you pull it off. I think in this episode, they pulled it off. I think in Equality of Mercy, they pulled it off, even though I wasn't as into the character there. It made sense why the character was involved in that storyline. It made sense to a degree why the character was in this storyline. Now, it didn't have to be. It could have been a mirror version of Kirk or of Pike or whatever. Like, they clearly were like, we want Kirk to be in this storyline. But because of the way the story was written and produced, and it was just sort of a fun, interesting story, I think that it worked. So, okay. I'm not only not going to be upset about it, I'm happy this episode exists.
that's a real endorsement.
Well, I really am. I am excited. I watch this episode already like three times, and I look forward to seeing it again in the future. I think it's a great episode. What I'm nervous about is when they do this again and again.
What, the time travel?
No, when they have another Kirk thing. Oh, now Kirk, we have two alternate Kirks.
Right.
I'm fine with that. If they could do 10 more, and hey, if they keep pulling it off, then they keep pulling it off. But then you're just like, why is fucking Kirk everywhere?
Right.
So it's like, how many more times we've finally seen Kirk in the real world at the end of this episode, when Lon reaches out to him and talks to him. So there's another version of Kirk.
It's like the Lieutenant Kirk.
Lieutenant Kirk. So it's like, all right, what exactly are they going to keep going back? Is this one of those characters? You know, it's great that they're populating this world with characters that we can go back to, like Captain Patel and Admiral April, etc. But should Kirk be one of those on this particular show? I think there's a fair debate to be had about that. I'm not 100% sure where I fall, but I'm probably right now, my default is to lean more on like, I want to see Pike and La'an and Uhura and these people have their adventures. Like, we have all these Kirk adventures. Like, let's not worry about the Kirk so much.
That hot dog saved your life.
Seems like you can save the Kirk for, like, you know, several seasons down the road.
Yeah, or maybe, even what if it was one Kirk a season? Even that might be too much. That's like 10% of the show at that stage.
By the way, was that that's an order scene? Was that technically defined?
Now this is coming. That thank you for reminding me about that, Dan, because this came up on social media where people were asking.
I am your superior officer, and I am ordering you to have a hot dog.
Yeah. It's kind of stretching it.
All right. So for newer listeners, and as a reminder to older listeners,
everyone else, go get a sandwich.
We'll be brief. This is an imbriefing episode.
Or an Italian ice.
So we will be brief. But Dan has concerns when it comes to the...
I want some Italian ice.
Cliche. The cliched use of do X, Y, and Z, that's an order.
And this has already gone on too long.
That's used in a lot of television shows and movies. And I think, if I recall correctly, Dan, specifically, you get aggravated when people are like...
doing it to be noble?
Yes, exactly. There's some sort of noble reason for it. Now...
and it doesn't make sense to be like, you know, I order, you know, like, push me off the cliff. That's an order, you
know?
So
die,
noble.
That's an order.
Yeah, so, exactly. Right.
So on our social media feeds, we had folks ask us... specifically if Dan would have a concern about this, knowing they knew Dan, our listeners, they know Dan well, and they knew that Dan might have an issue with this, or at least were interested in what his opinion was on it. So that is the background.
You got to have
and it. Now we will give you the answer. Dan, what's the answer?
It's kind of stretching it.
So this is fine? It doesn't bother you?
It's not. I mean, maybe you could say
because technically he doesn't say that's an order.
That's what I'm explaining, is that he doesn't say it, but you could say that it has the spirit of it.
Even though he is not, in fact, your commanding officer, even, as she notes.
But it's really more of a joke.
That's the thing, is it's a total joke. So, like, it's cool. He's in fact, making fun of all those other people that say that.
Right.
So,
he probably realizes he's not really... commanding officer.
Right. So yeah. And so so it gets two thumbs up. Two thumbs up.
All right.
He's really charming her.
It's charming me too.
I know. Right?
Like I just said, I I'm happy this episode exists.
Yeah, yeah. It's nice.
There were
in part because of Paul Wesley's performance. Primarily because of Christina Chong's performance as La'an, because
she's really good.
Her character's amazing.
What about the Romulans?
Well, I wanted to say this episode, it had two things that were kind of like caught me a little off guard. One was that they don't really even try for a setup. They don't really tell us till the very end, like what's happening. And then like, it's just kind of like, you felt like a little shoehorned in there. It kind of reminds me of that. What was that Barkley episode of TNG where he becomes all super smart? You know, because he's got the, and they kind of, what you could construe as the ending of, like,
we did that one.
Yeah, we did that. The ending you could construe as being like a little shoehorned in. I thought it was kind of cool though, that ending. I thought it was a little whimsical and kind
of
neat.
Well, yeah, because of the alien creature business.
Yeah, so I was like, okay with it. This one I'm fine because you don't really need to, I mean, the episode was already an hour long. You don't really need to spend too much time. It wasn't that important, but it was Agent MLA? I think it was MLA.
What are you talking about?
Agent MLA from she was at the end. She was the time cop. She was the time cop.
You mean the time cops?
Yeah, the time cop. And she just kind of jumped in at the end.
Department
of
Temporal Investigation.
Yeah, and she's like, and it was cool. What was cool about that is when she was like, La'an, you can't fucking tell anybody. You have to keep this all to yourself. So she finally falls in love.
Mom's the word.
She finally finds someone she connects with. Not only does she get to not see him anymore, she can't even tell anyone about
it. It's fucked up.
It's really fucked up. So that was cool. But like, it just felt like a little bit like they held off on what was going on until the very, like, they weren't concerned with it, but they knew they had to wrap it in a bow.
The time cops, first of all, I mean, at least those weren't pulled out of nowhere, right? So we know them from Deep Space Nine and from Voyager.
But they just kind of swooped in at the end. That's all.
Well, I mean, the guy at the beginning was a time cop.
Yeah, I know. But that was also kind of like, we got a mission. It's like, okay.
Yeah, but
by the end, here's what it is.
Any time travel is like, okay, again, the point of this episode is you work backwards from, I get what you're saying, Dan. I'm not disagreeing with that, but I'm just looking at it from, they were like, we want to give Christina Chong an opportunity to do this amazing stuff she can do with
right.
this character that has this interesting background, which again, by the way, when this show was announced,
this doesn't take away from that.
No,
what I'm saying
not.
Doesn't take away from
not.
That at all.
When this show was announced, and they announced that somebody was going to be a Noonien Singh, everyone was just like, Jesus, are you fucking serious? Right? You already got the Ahuras and you got the other thing. He's like, what's going on here? Because people wanted to see Pike's adventures, but then it was like, okay, it's going to be bringing a lot of the older people back. And oh, now there's a Khan. And oh, what's this going to be?
La'an Noonien Sung.
But she's brilliant. She's like possibly my favorite character on the entire show
good.
So far, in terms of like what's going on with the character's background and how it's Christina Chong is portraying her. And this episode, the whole purpose behind it is allow La'an to take one more step on the road to dealing with her concerns about her genetic and familial heritage. And this is giving her that
right.
option.
And then, yeah, what I'm saying doesn't take away from that. The other thing about the beginning that was kind of like the setup to the beginning was pretty clear cut with what was going on. It's like it was meant to show you that Lon's lonely, you know, and so set it up for her, you know, connection with Kirk. So that was the purpose of the beginning. Plus, it also gave you like a story, like I guess you could technically call it foreshadowing that I don't know. But like when Pelia stole the artifacts,
right,
you know, and so it was kind of like a hint that maybe something was going to happen with and that came into play later, the whole artifact. So those are the two sort of like things that set it up. There was the guy that came in that lasted a few minutes.
The guy in his gray suit with his gray tie and his gray shirt.
Yeah. And then he got shot with bullets because that's what they do back in our time. 2022, I think, is when it actually took place.
Yeah.
I was curious, was there any evidence of that?
1992.
They said 30 years ago was 92.
Yeah, they did.
That's
Sarah, the
you
Romulan.
Guys and your fucking math.
So
using it to answer questions in the world.
So anyways, it was very small beginning and end, book ending a very awesome like middle. Also the other thing is I don't know if this is just because I'm used to like how TV shows go on and somehow plot points take several episodes to pan out. But the way the falling in love with Kirk, it like happened like out of nowhere. Yeah, it kind of like zapped.
It's swift.
And then it swiftly happened and then he was dead. So I didn't really get that much of a feeling like, yeah, she did a great job to express her sadness. Like when she kissed him and after she kissed him, like that was amazing. Like she was just like all stunned. And then like she could tell she was
I would be too.
Sad. And at the end when she was crying, like all that shit was fucking great. But it's just, it took away some of the impact. What took away some of the impact was the fact that it just kind of happened out of nowhere. And then he died before it. It's like they're just establishing something and then he died. It just, something about it didn't. And it could be.
This is where the episodic versus serial.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Other end of the spectrum.
That's what I'm saying is I can't tell if it's just me used to longer things at this point.
I think it's not about being used to it. It's about there is a trade-off. And we here are fans of Discovery, fans of Picard. We enjoyed those serialized seasons, but we have also discussed that some of the challenges with that, those season-long arcs are individual episodes can suffer somewhat because the story is being stretched out for so long and that you have the climaxes are in weird places and stuff and sometimes you have filler and all this stuff. So there are some drawbacks to the serial seasons, right? On the other hand, there are some drawbacks to episodic storytelling, which is, this is an example where they have to squeeze in a whole romance into one episode because there's no other way to have an alternate Kirk over the course of many episodes, right? And so the result is that they use those old TV tropes. Did you notice when he has to change his shirt, like his shirt lifts up a little and she gets all blushed?
So there was like,
I thought La'an is going to brush at a skinny ass white dude in a fucking changing thing.
So these were the
that kind of was out of nowhere.
See, these were the her fall.
That's an 80s TV trope.
These were her. Yeah. There were 5 points I saw to her relationship evolution. First, when she saw him take his shirt off, then she's like, ooh. And then when she fell in love with him when he went back for another hot dog. At that point, like something about her, she thought he was like cute and funny or whatever. And then when at night when she woke up, she wanted to act on it, and so did he. Like when she woke up and walked, and he was on the and we shot back and forth with them, they couldn't sleep. You know, and
these are all cliches designed to accelerate romance in a TV episode.
And there was one part where they were talking to Pelia, and Lan was like, we both have secrets that would topple a lot of people's firmly held beliefs. And she's like, all I can say is my friend and I, you know, and she's like stumbling over that for some reason. She doesn't know what to call him, which is kind of weird, but she is awkward, supposed to be awkward. And then it sort of tops off when they discuss like how to save the timeline while they're going on like a romantic stroll.
What about
that's when they kiss.
I think there was one you left out unless I totally missed it. I do think I was paying attention, which was, when they were talking to Sarah and Kirk is trying to bullshit Sarah a little bit to get more information, and he refers to Laan as his wife.
Oh,
she's
yes.
Also, there's also, she's like,
yes, there was tension there.
There was a little bit of sexual tension there.
You're right.
And the thing is all these things for me, they all work fine, but they work because I've been trained on television tropes, which is like, okay, I get what they're doing. They're doing the shortcut to a spiritual match, romance.
I mean, I'm not
tragic romance.
I'm not gonna put it. Look,
but no, I'm. It was fine for me, but I because I could see it. You could see right through it. You could be like, this is ridiculous for this to happen this quickly, especially for a character like Lan.
No, and I see. I mean, I see what they had a lot to fit in, and I see that they had to do it. I still couldn't help, and I don't.
You
think
just have to take it or leave it.
I don't think it's all because it's an episodic approach to it. I mean, I don't think it's purely limited by that. I think there's a way to maybe. Maybe they were trying to put too much in or something like that. You know, that could have been.
I think it's just very
because
difficult.
Because the plot took a lot, like the actual reason to me, that took a while to sort of like finally give us like what is actually going on, which I get is part of the point. It's like, you know, they're trying to figure out what's going on. That's the mystery. I get that. Yeah. So it's not like, that's not totally lost on me. But also then the romance happened a little too quickly. I think it was a little lopsided for me.
I think it's something that is difficult to avoid when something has to be confined to the span of 45, 50, 55.
Yeah, exactly.
And that, in one sense, it's like, okay.
I would have gone for a two-parter on this.
I get it. I, you know.
You know me and I remember when I wanted.
Danny two-part.
Voyager. Remember when I said that? Remember when I said, and I immediately took back that Voyager episode.
Which one?
Bad year.
Oh,
and
year
I was
of
like,
hell?
Year of hell. I was like, that should be a season.
Bad year.
I said. Year
well,
of
it was originally supposed to be a season.
Did I say that? Then what? Maybe I said something else because there was something else.
Year of hell was the idea was it would be over a whole season, and then Paramount was like, you can go fuck yourself.
There was another episode. Then there was some episode that I was like saying they should have spent a whole year on, and it was silly. Anyways, point being is.
All right, so audience, if you want to find out what Dan's talking about, just go back and listen to all 192 previous episodes.
Point is, I feel like I'm often being like, that should have been a two-parter. That should have been. And this is one where it definitely, I feel, would have benefited from being a two-parter.
Suck balls if they stretched this out into a two-parter.
I don't know, because I think they had a lot to fit in, and it was a little. 20 more minutes could have, I think, helped that.
And again, this is just my perspective, and I think there's lots of different 100% totally valid
It was long. At an hour, it was long,
it
but that's
longer.
Because they were trying to fit too much in.
I again will focus on the whole point of the story. From my viewpoint, the whole point of the story was this Laan coming to terms with her background business. All this other stuff is just fun plot surrounding that, and part of her coming to terms with her family. Kirk is meant to, he's not directly related to that necessarily, but he's an offering some support. And as a result, they fall in love real quick, and it's important for her to show capacity. If the writers want to show that she has capacity for love, that she has a need for love, and that it's a tragedy that she's taken away, it's a little unfortunate that it's got to be. They got to resort to some of these shortcuts in order to get there.
Right, and I totally see that.
But you know what? There's no shortcuts for.
Falling in love?
No.
Which is what they did.
Taking a break. Taking a very brief break. One more break. And then
poutine has gravy.
And then we can conclude our discussion of tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
And
tomorrow.
And
tomorrow.
Be right back. Okay, we have returned. To conclude our discussion of City on the Edge of Forever. Oh, I'm sorry. This is a variation.
Time Cops.
This is a variation on City on the Edge of Forever.
You.
Because it is. In the fundamental plot thing. So, okay, I've already discussed that. I think that the thematic point of this episode is all about Laan and her journey. But from a plot perspective, what we're seeing is another version of a horrible thing has to happen in order for the future to be preserved. And in City on the Edge of Forever, Starfleet disappears because McCoy saves the life of a woman. And it turns out that was not a good thing to do. So,
well, they're trying to, in this one, they're preventing a horrible thing from happening. You just said that horrible thing has to happen to save the future.
No, this one, they're letting a horrible thing happen. Yeah. They're letting Khan Noonien Singh grow up to become a terrible...
I thought you meant the bridge blowing up.
No,
that wasn't even the thing. The thing wasn't even the thing. Oh, you're right. Okay, yeah, I totally...
Yeah.
It's been a week since I've seen this episode, actually. So that's what my excuse
is. Oh, man.
City on the Edge of Forever it's a very interesting... And sort of a challenging idea that comes up often over and over, and I just think it's a particularly good example of it, is that there's a parson who is an effective communicator, and that effective communicator is supposed to die in a car accident. And if she doesn't die in a car accident, she effectively keeps the United States from joining World War II. Hitler rises to power and takes over the world, and everything goes to shit.
Spoiler alert after the fact.
So it's one of those, it's that idea that you have to sometimes let horrible things happen. Millions of people die in war in order to avoid the more horrible thing. It's the kind of thing that only really makes sense in the concept of time travel stories, right? And then you get the idea of like, oh, should you go back in time and kill Hitler as a baby or something? Like, one of the ideas is like, no, if you want the current future, you got to deal with whatever horrible stuff happened leading up to this current future. At least in the idea of the Star Trek world, the idea is that the future is kind of awesome. So you do want that. So let the bad things happen. This story is basically the exact same thing, except they've replaced Hitler and World War II with Khan Noonien Singh and the eugenics wars.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So I've concluded my point.
I saw that as well.
I've concluded the observation that both Jesse and I share. Dan, did you share that observation about it being similar to City on the Edge of Forever?
Born in space.
Or did you not share that?
I was born in space on the USS Iowa.
The USS Iowa.
I've never been to Earth at all.
So
just like you've never been.
I've never been to Earth.
He's
at
never
all.
Been.
Just like you've never been.
I've never been to Earth at all.
Just like you've never been.
I've never been to Earth at all.
Just like you've never been.
I was born in space.
Okay, so my minor quibbles about Paul Wesley aside, as the character of Kirk, I do enjoy when you retroactively feel like the producers are trolling the trolls, and I think that's what they did with this with the preview for this season, because when the season 2 preview was going around, they had that scene where Kirk is going through the rotating doors backwards, and she's like, oh, have you never seen rotating doors before? And he's like,
it's a good accent.
I'm from space. And everyone's like, he's not from space, he's from Iowa, he was born on Earth. Right. These writers are so stupid. They don't even know how to do anything. They don't read. The writers are so, they're
they
so bad.
Read.
They hate Star Trek. These writers hate Star Trek. They're so bad. That was going on.
Hologram.
When people were watching the preview, and now we know that, yeah, he says he's from space because this version of the character was born in space, somewhat comically, on the USS Iowa. Okay, I like that. I think that part was a troll. I think the other thing that was a bit of a troll, maybe not on purpose, but it ended up being like that, was he also has, you know, he has captain's sleeves, like his markings on his sleeves are like captain's markings. And people watch that in the trailer and they're like, this doesn't make any sense. Why is he captain? What's going on? And it's like, oh yeah, it's an alternate version. It's like, no big deal. It's not a big deal. Cool your jets. It's all good.
United Earth Fleet.
That's where he's from. There's no Starfleet.
I know. That sounds so stupid.
Yeah, the United, the UEF.
Yeah, that's, or United Earth Fleet's been mentioned before. I think going back as far back as TOS.
I have never heard of this Starfleet.
No.
No. All right, so let's talk about Sarah, who I believe was named Sarah in order to evoke images of Sarah Silverman.
No.
And Sarah Silverman's character from Future's End.
I think that's a stretch.
I don't think it's a stretch. Let's debate.
I just don't think it is.
Well, I think they selected...
No.
They have a Sarah Silverman-ish character.
No.
They named her Sarah. and she's in the past, and she believes in aliens and stuff, and interacts with the main characters.
I will say...
And they named her Sarah.
I will say, they did do a switcheroo on the whole idea that in Star Trek, when you go back to contemporary Earth, contemporary to us...
You meet Sarah Silverman.
In all Star Treks, where they go back to... they always have to find their sort of unwitting human Earthling buddy.
And it's not just traveling back in time. There's an there's often a local interlocutor.
There's
like Bilby.
There's a temporally relative sort of like person who's like, hey guys, oh shucks, and then they learn and their world is blown apart and and everything's better afterwards.
Yeah, like in City on the Edge of Forever, Edith Keeler is the local interlocutor.
What was that one on TNG? Was it TNG? No, or am I just thinking of Star Trek 4? Wasn't there a TNG one where someone like comes back forward? I feel where someone lives back in time and they come forward in time. I don't know, and they live there.
when you go back in time,
I don't know. And then but you know what I'm talking about? Like there's this sort of like that Earth person doesn't know what's going on. They recruit them.
Earth person.
And the Earth person finds out what's going
on. To your planet, welcome.
Earth person.
And then their world is opened up, and everything's all great for them. And then they sort of turn that on its head here because that's what she was going to be. And then she. So I will say, I will agree that it was a play on that sort of idea. Yeah. I don't know if they were thinking of Sarah Silverman when they did.
I think that's why they named her Sarah.
It was S-E-R-A, though.
Yeah, but that's because she's Romulan.
Romulan.
Like, yeah, she's Romulan. But if she weren't Romulan, they'd be just spelled Sarah like Sarah Silverman spells Sarah. Well, we'll write a letter to Star Trek, and we will... You can write to Star Trek like you write to Santa. You just write, like, Santa, North Pole. You write, like, Star Trek, and then the letter will get there. They'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's all I want for Christmas is to know.
Can you send, like, one of them subspace transmissions?
Yeah.
But you have to wait till morning when they send out their batch of communications.
You said batch.
They send them in batches.
Sarah said seams in the bunny suit.
Yeah.
He's like, you can see the seams in the bunny suit.
I like that
line. I like that, too. I was a little bit disappointed. Not in this story. I thought the story worked out great, and Sarah turning out to be a Romulan agent was, I think, really cool. But I liked the character, so I was sad.
Yeah, I was kind of sad
because she was a fun character. Again, in that Sarah Silverman mold. I'm looking at Dan, and Dan's like, "Fuck you, man! I don't agree." But yes,
whatever.
So I thought all that was very charming, but so I it was a charming character. So I was a little sad to see that she was not who she said she was. But because she's a time monster, we might see her again. I think that's the kind of thing where, yeah, you can say it's a stretch, but not necessarily because, again, it's time travel.
Well, okay, this segues into this new game I have. It's called What is the Sound That You're Hearing?
Okay. Now, just for as a point of clarification, will this sound be from this episode of Star Trek?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's helpful.
Okay.
It constrains a little bit the world or the universe, I should say, of sounds.
Yes.
That it could be.
Right.
It's confined to this particular episode. Presumably excluding the opening sequence and the end credits.
There's a funny short, a tangent, or maybe just an aside that I could take. Well, about what you just said, and I'll let you know in a minute.
Okay.
What is the sound that you're hearing, Jesse and Patrick?
It's a big fucking bucket of eels. Somebody's tipped over a bucket of eels. You know, like you put an eel pie, like the eels that come right out of the fucking Thames.
Eel pie?
Yeah, you get the Thames used to just be teeming with eels. The Thames was teeming with eels. You'd scoop up the eels, put them in an eel pie, cook it up.
No, Jesse, do you have any guesses? I don't know.
I'm thinking.
Oh, okay, good. I wasn't sure if you heard me. Sorry. Could,
you know, he's thinking.
I can hear you,
he's
man.
He's looking at his notes. He's thinking. You know what it is? It's not from this episode. It's from that episode of TNG because it sounds like the doors, not to the holodeck, similar, but to the doors to one of the docks. You know, the cargo bays, but the cargo bay is filled to the brim with fucking eels. And then the door opens and the eels just come spilling out.
It kind of sounds like a less offensive version of like Picard's hand monster, the gooey clay, the gooey.
Oh, in Star Trek Picard, not Captain Picard's personal hand monster.
No, in Star Trek Picard, the gooey morphing hand monster. Yes, and then when it falls apart.
Oh yeah, I remember that scene. Yeah, yeah.
Do you give up?
Is it when the Sarah chick gets shot and she goes up in smoke or something?
Boom. Ah, word.
Boom.
Word.
Good job, Jesse.
That was weird.
Yeah, good job.
It was weird. I'm wondering if it was like a last minute edit or something, because they have that like very brief scene of her pushing some button before she turns into a cloud of green dust.
It was like dusty old bones. Yeah.
There was some greenness in
there. No, but you mentioned something about in-universe, and what that has to do with this is it one because that effect, that visual effect they use, kind of looked like something else they did in a previous episode, I think of Picard season one, maybe. And you had actually said it reminded you of the Marvel blip out.
Yes.
A little bit.
Yeah.
So in-universe, Marvel universe. It's not necessarily in universe alone.
This the tangent you're talking
meta
about?
Meta speaking, yeah.
So the sound, but speaking, the sound, but it is in this. But it is.
But,
in this
but, it, but it is. In it, but, it is. But on a meta, but on a meta level, it also kind of like looks like the blip out. But,
meta, man, that's totally meta.
Blip out.
They were doing some camera thing where they do that shaky camera shot, and I was wondering. I bet they don't actually shake the camera. They just press like a button that shakes the camera. That makes an effect, like an effect. It just shakes the camera.
The button
for
that shakes.
Maybe
the
yes.
Camera.
Maybe no. Maybe it depends on the director or on the camera operator.
I think that's something that you can do so many things by pressing a button on a computer.
Yeah. Odds and ends. Any major odds and ends about this episode? I have one or two.
Mars.
No.
Venus. The moon.
Europa.
Penis.
Europa.
La'an left the gun behind and. Khan Jr.'s room. I know we didn't really talk about Khan Jr. It was whatever. not even Khan Jr. Baby Khan.
Baby
Young Khan.
Khan.
Baby Khan.
Yeah.
Are you going to kill me?
It's
yeah. Here to take me away?
That's all you need to know.
No, right? That's all he says. Doesn't even, when she's like, are there others like you? He doesn't even say yes. He sort of like glances in the direction of a photograph. But La'an walks in with a gun. Right, the gun has been fired, I believe, 6 times at this point. I don't know how many rounds that particular clip holds. I'm not familiar enough with that particular weapon. But regardless, she does
that
have a
particular one.
I mean, she has a weapon that is presumably has. I'm sure it holds more than 6 rounds. Some sort of semi-automatic pistol, and it holds more than 6 rounds. And
I can also make Pamik soup in the toilet.
It's really not clear what that gun is.
But she goes into his room. She puts the gun down on his nightstand. Mm-hmm. She talks to him for a little bit, being like, it's all good. Kill as many motherfuckers as you like. And then she gets up and leaves. And you
Thank
can see
you.
You can see the gun sitting there behind her. And here's the thing. I'm only bringing this up in part because when I first saw the episode, I had some recollection. I was like, oh, yeah, she put the gun down, but I can't remember. Did she pick it up or not? I don't know. It wasn't clear. And then online, I saw some people on Reddit and other places complaining, saying, like, why did La'an leave a gun in a child's room? Mm-hmm. And I was like, I don't remember her doing that. So the next few times I watched the episode,
remember.
I paid special attention and is like, yes, you can see it on the table as she's leaving the room. And then, by the way, she zaps herself back to the future in full view of this young genetically engineered future tyrant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point.
Which is weird.
That is weird.
Dramatically and from a directing standpoint, okay, it looked cool. Her being framed by the door and then being blipped out. All right, that was did look cool. Yeah, from an in-universe perspective, I think it's a little bit suspect behavior on her part. 2 security lapses by the otherwise highly competent security officer.
Yeah, I would agree. There were 2. I hope this isn't like controversial for some reason. I don't think it would be.
I like it when Dan gets controversial.
I'm getting excited.
La'an said 2 lines that sounded. One word sounded like another word in two separate La'an lines. Okay, see if you can guess it in this line.
Most fecals had private ownership in this time.
Most fecals?
Yeah.
Most fecals?
Most fecals had private ownership in this time.
I couldn't stop hearing that.
Which is, so here's the thing.
Supposed to be most vehicles, but
you guys
I'm
are
most.
So silly.
I know. I did not hear anything other than vehicles until 10 seconds ago.
Most vehicles had private ownership.
And when Dan played it in the context of sounding weird, now I can only hear fecal.
Most vehicles had private ownership fecal in this matter. Time.
Fecal matter.
Yeah, so
fecal.
Fecals.
Okay, what's the other one, Dan?
Okay, let's see if you can guess this one. I guess this could be another game show, although I don't think I find stuff like this that often, but it'll be a special. What the fuck am I talking about? She had that sidebar clip.
Someone had to audit the intercourse.
Audit the intercourse?
There you go. You guys are good at this.
As opposed to the intro course?
Yes.
Someone had to audit the intercourse. Intercourse.
Yeah. Fecals. Someone had to audit the intercourse. I don't know, Dan.
That was kind of controversial.
It was highly controversial. I think we may have to edit all that out of the podcast.
Oh, man. I spent
it's
so much time.
It's so highly controversial.
I mean, you know.
The fecal matter.
Fecals. Intercourse.
It's just like, you know.
Fecal.
Intercourse.
It's like me not understanding what she's saying, you know. It's kind of like... who am I? What am I not? What am I? Who am I? Why do I get to sit? Why do I get to do that? You know? Well, who am I?
I don't know. Who are you?
No. No.
No. I like that, you know, we didn't talk really at all about Pelia much. It was cool to see her character in the past. I love the gag of her not being an engineer in the past and getting the idea to be an engineer from La'an.
Yes.
In a sort of a predestination
and
paradox.
And she kind of like briefly had, briefly had experience with math through Pythagoras, but that was just to tell you how old
she was.
She was
like, when he invented the
thing.
When
he invented it.
But it's awesome.
I'm not an engineer.
It's...
I do like puzzles.
I can't think now. What were we talking about?
Pelia's funny.
It's a cute
story
idea. I know. It's cool because it shows you just like how old it puts in perspective. Yeah. Like it's like she can just like become an engineering expert after having lived for hundreds of years and not really knowing much about it.
So maybe she got the idea there and then spent the next 300 years or 200 whatever years just getting steadily better and better and better.
And then she talked about stealing. She didn't steal the artifacts, which is funny because they were giving that extra hard look like we really shouldn't be like approving of this. Like, because they were like, we should really be fucking arresting you for this. You know?
Well, and the gag with that is that painting is actually a stolen painting.
Right.
Like in real life. That painting was stolen a long time ago and has never been recovered.
See, maybe it's good that Star Trek explained some of the references because I don't get them all because I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it still works. The joke still works.
Still
and funny. then if you know that added extra little fact,
right.
Then you can be like, oh.
Yeah.
Another fun thing, though, that they did with Pelia.
Ghost.
Yes. 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 It's associated with that. Yes. Indeed. Associated
with
that theme.
Which painting did she have?
She had the painting of the girl by, what's his name?
I'm going to show you. Follow me.
The painting is, it's that guy who painted that thing, you know, and there was like that animal that he was going to put in there, but then he didn't. And so he like, they didn't have Sharpies back then though. So, or ink erasers. So like he couldn't correct what he was doing with a black Sharpie. So he had to like get some oil paints out. And then he found the oil paints. He had to make his own, right? Because back then you had to make your own
oil
paints.
Where do you come up with this stuff?
And he had to get it from dinosaur bones.
Dinosaur bones.
Dinosaur bones. Because back then they lived with the dinosaurs, but we discovered today that humans and dinosaurs didn't coexist. So I don't know how they were able to do that. But, Patrick, do you have something to say?
I'm just enjoying.
Did you find out like
all this discussion about the dinosaur bones and stuff? The painting was by Vermeer, and Vermeer. I don't know the name of the specific painting. It's like girl in room with hat or some shit like that. Vermeer painted in a very almost photorealistic style, very interesting angles. You can learn a lot about Vermeer in the documentary film Tim's Vermeer. That was produced by Penn and Teller, Penn Jillette and Teller, and I believe it was directed by Teller. Very good documentary. But yes, Tim's Vermeer, or just Vermeer if you're just interested in the painter. You can look it up on DuckDuckGo. They have a special page for
Do you think the frame is covered in veneer?
No. I don't.
That was a serious question.
I don't know enough about frames.
Vermeer wasn't covered in veneer.
I'm not a frameologist.
Or why? Or when? What anyway, changed?
What if it was
or
covered when? In
or why?
Anyway, I think it was a Vermeer. I'm not 100% sure, but
what
I think
changed?
It
or why?
Me,
or when?
To me, like it was like that stolen Vermeer with the girl with the thing in the drawing room or whatever.
When Kirk did this, he was doing rapid fire questions. He was like,
what changed? Or when? Or why?
Like then, which I just played a second ago.
Or
like,
when? What I, changed? Or why?
I thought what he was changed? I thought he was being a little bit too like, calm down, man. You know, you're asking, when he was talking to Lon, he was all like quizzing her real hard.
With Pelia, one thing I did want to mention that was
related.
I wanted
to know why you were picked for this. What does it mean? What does your family have to do with this?
Related to that,
what does it mean?
The clip you were playing with Pelia saying we're closed is, to me, I think they were mimicking, I believe they were mimicking the, yes, except the whole thing. I think it was the Princess Bride. It was a callback to the Princess Bride when we go to with Billy Crystal, you know, and then they're like answering the door. He's like, "We're closed," but there's like the, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's a stretch, but it felt a little bit like it was like a Princess Bride reference.
Poutine has gravy.
Yes, it does.
No, although,
I think that covers most of my odds and ends. You already mentioned the conclusion with the Christina Chung or with Luan bursting into tears after talking to Kirk,
even though
because she's realizing she's like, okay, this isn't the same guy. The other guy's totally dead.
Although, like,
maybe he's good enough.
I mean, I'm
guilty about that.
He knew
guilty.
He at the end he was like
crying.
At the end he was like, you sure that's all you wanted? He knew the reason he knew that that wasn't what she was asking about is because she could have just looked up that information on the internet.
No,
because
they have
it in Star Trek.
No, they don't have the internet. Not anymore. It went away.
Oh, it went away.
It went away.
It was in the past, past
future.
Yeah,
they didn't have it in Deep Space Nine, and then in the future, we got it after.
It was in the future.
It got nuked.
It was in the future that was in their past, but not our past. But it
Precisely.
Was in their past.
Yes.
Just now.
Yeah. Yes. When will then be now? Soon. They didn't have the internet in Spaceballs either.
Yeah, there's a lot. It's weird how that worked out. You know, such a crazy invention. Yeah.
Final. Going once, going twice, going 1,000 times for odds and ends for this episode of Star Trek: The Strange New Worlds. Tomorrow and tomorrow,
hot dogs
and tomorrow.
They said the word. They said the phrase "cold." Well, term. Cold fusion.
Cold fusion.
They said it 7 times.
Cold fusion.
The archaeology department. Antiques and rare finds. We thought it was like a university or an organization or something like that.
And so did they.
It was an organization, all right, but a retail organization.
It was an LLC.
Limited liability.
Perhaps. I don't know how retail stores in Vermont are usually set up. Oh, one note to a random anonymous Redditor, which aggravated me. Normally I don't get too aggravated, you know, there's people
say hello to the entire very judgmental internet.
Yeah, but okay, people have all sorts of opinions. Some of them are more justified than others. That's all good. We live in a diverse society, diverse perspectives. People are coming at this show from a lot of different directions and they're gonna have different opinions. Some people like it, dislike it, or have quibbles with this or that. You know, we've already had some discussions tonight about how much we are or are not bothered by some of the literary shortcuts they take in order to get to the point of the story and that sort of thing. But what does aggravate me is when people just sort of get some obvious stuff wrong. There was somebody on Reddit who was complaining, saying like, how much money exactly did Kirk win playing chess in order to afford a taxi cab from Toronto to Vermont? The cab, very obviously, because the camera was zoomed in on it, the cab said Vermont Taxi. That was the generic name that was written on the side of the blue cab, was Vermont Taxi, not Toronto Taxi, driven to Vermont.
It's Toronto.
They fucking flew there and then took a cab from the airport. I mean, it's fucking obvious. It's a Vermont cab. I know nobody's going to care about this because probably only other 3 people read that shit on Reddit. But I was annoyed that the guy said it. And then I was annoyed that people didn't immediately point that out to the guy. And then I was annoyed that I couldn't be bothered to take the effort to myself correct the person just because I don't like to get involved in these things.
It's annoying when someone's trifling in the first place. But when they do it over and they're wrong, it's like extra like, no, you don't get those opportunities.
you're trifling.
If you're trifling, you don't get those allowances, you know?
Yeah, like, this was not like I didn't enjoy the characterization. It's like, no, you made an assumption based off of being dumb and not looking at the TV. It says Vermont TV. Taxi and they're in Vermont. How fucking surprising is that? Oh my God. Anyway. All right. Anything else?
Hey, Vermont Taxi, can you take me to Vermont?
Kirk,
can you get me there?
Kirk was blaming her for zapping them back in time, but if you look at the replay, which I did, his thumb was on top of her thumb. Yeah. So at minimum, they both did it. At minimum.
I mostly blame him for.
But he was saying shit to her. He was like, if someone hadn't impulsively zapped us over without me, Kirk, man.
It was a very un-Kirk-like thing to do, to just sort of grab at some business.
Yeah. And their fight training they're doing in this series of Star Trek, and also they would do in other Star Trek we've seen recently. It's a far cry from that Enbo Jutsu that we've come accustomed to.
Jutsu.
Which isn't a good or bad thing. It's cool. It's cool that it's like a different fight style they do. It's like, it's kind of neat. I don't know. Some people might have problems with that. It's not. I don't know if anyone does have problems with this because I've never seen it, but I've never looked. But I assume they must be like, it's not as the fights aren't Star Trek-y. They're a little too action oriented. And I can see if someone makes that complaint.
That's
but
not
I
the
don't,
problem people
but
are but saying. But the problem that you see online is largely based in misogyny, where people are saying, like, oh, there's no way that Laon could beat up Mbenga.
Right.
It's like, okay. All right. Right. Like, we're watching a TV show and she's like related to genetically engineered monster people, and he's older than her.
I mean, it's
like, come on, you know.
It's,
know,
right? I mean, this is like well trodden area, but and I don't want to like go too far into it, but it's just ridiculous. It's worth reiterating that it's kind of silly when people talk about how Star Trek's getting all woke.
Yes.
And it's like, where have you been? Like, what is that? First of all, what do you really mean when you say woke? Because it doesn't really
can't fight.
Yeah,
it's scientifically proven that lady people can't fight.
It's just
their uteruses will fall out.
Yeah, it's
like, impossible.
It's just like to let me know you're about
the
to like,
alien ladies are the same. All alien ladies also act that way.
Alien ladies.
They're all built the same. Ladies can't fight.
Yeah, it just gives me sort of a clue that like, okay, this person's going to start saying this stuff now when they start saying it. It doesn't mean anything. But then if all shows, if you have a problem with whatever you think it is that you have a problem with, why are you watching Star Trek? Because it's always been like progressive.
And it's like,
I'm sorry if 1960 doesn't seem as progressive as to you now as it did back then, but it was 1968.
There are
going to
be people who say, like, there will be people who will say, look, it's not about being progressive is great, but there's a reality. There's a reality of how, no, and that's where I get into it. It's like, look, it's not a reality. There's a TV show. Mm-hmm. So, whatever discussions you're going to have, you're focusing on something silly, which is when you should be focusing on what the story they're trying to tell is, right? And that's the same thing happens a lot. Yeah, are there plot holes? Are there things like, yeah, of course, it's a piece of media entertainment, and what you should judge it on is on how well is it entertaining you? Well, are the themes coming across well?
Are
the portrayals nice?
I know that that's the latest argument is like reality. This isn't how this would really be in real life, but like it's such an assumption that a lot
of
people are making.
It's almost always a false argument because it's, like you said, it's based off of nonsense assumptions.
Yeah, I'm aware that people have like problems with like this is unrealistic, you know, for someone to physically or whatever, or this wouldn't happen in this organization. It's like, what the fuck do you know?
What
you
the
know?
Fuck would happen in a this United Federation of Planets with all these different people in the future?
Yeah.
And there's time travel.
It's like, oh, you could never.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. The time travel's fine, but yeah, you could never cure a bullet wound with it. Yeah, it's not whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's not a big deal.
It's an old argument, I know, which is why I was hesitant to bring it up, but I really just wanted to.
And most people, I know, first of all, most people listening to this podcast for sure, but most people are not going to be worried about that type of stuff. Or if. That doesn't mean they don't enjoy critiquing things. It's just like they're not going to ruin their day over it, right? Mm. The people who are ruining their day over it, unfortunately, they're very vocal.
And they have to ruin it for others.
You see them
online. Or at
least
try to.
Yeah, and that's their...
I'm not going to let them ruin my day.
Exactly, to me, it's always funny when somebody's day is ruined because of something like this. Like, I didn't like an episode of a TV show I like.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Fuck my life. Fuck those producers that produce this entertainment for me. Fuck them.
There's no other TV I can ever watch. I have to watch
It's
just an, this
it's,
show.
It's a peculiar and perplexing position to take. It is. I see it out there. I don't think it's that common, though. I think it's just that we see it because it's what gets clicks, right? You know, that sort of stuff. Unfortunately.
Some quick points. I like Pike. At the end, he commented on the fact that Lon wasn't wearing her uniform, but nobody said anything about her like kick-ass retro clothes that she was wearing.
Specifically the fucking boots.
Yeah,
she was like rocking those boots.
Yeah, it was pretty tight.
I want to get those boots.
I want to know more about that graphic that Agent Emily, I think it's Emily. It's spelled Y-M-A-L-A-Y, and I think it was pronounced like, it sounded like Emily, so I think it's more like Emily or something. I don't know. I'll have to watch it again. But the graphic she was looking at before she zapped back at the end, there was this like, it was like,
It was a reference to Voyager.
Was it? Because it looked like a Zeppelin with an arc tubey things and a big red metro station that looking through the middle, which I assume was like the main timeline, and all the side tubies were like alternate timeline, but then there was a little tiny tubey sticking off and going back
side
in.
Side tubies.
There's side tubies. I love side tube.
So we see the Department of Temporal Investigations in Trials and Tribulations in Deep Space Nine.
But
that's where we see these people. But then in Voyager, in the Relativity episode, and then I think it comes up at least once or twice, a couple other times, where it's a similar time people, they have that graphic that's like describing, it's showing
I want to compare and contrast side by side. I should do that.
Go on DuckDuckGo, check it out.
I will.
You can find what you need.
The last thing is she has the keepsake, of course, have at the end of a time travel episode when you're not allowed to tell. And this time,
you have to have the watch.
Yeah, she didn't know. Usually,
give me the watch.
Usually, it's when
I held this uncomfortable hunk of metal up my ass 2 years.
Usually, when people, it's when people wake up from
the watch to me.
Wake up from a dream and they don't know that if the dream is real or not. They're like, was that real? And then they pull out a thing from the thing and it's like, oh, it's real because I have it. She knew it was real, but she wasn't allowed to say it. Which can like make you think it's like, if it can fuck with your head, but she's always got that watch, right? So I guess that's she's always, they always gotta have that keepsake at the end to remind you that something did come out of it that you can hold
on
to.
There was a lot of discussion about what the watch meant, and I really like your explanation, Dan, that it's reminding us that she has a reminder of this adventure, and although she's upset and bursting into tears here at the sort of not only mourning the death of the Kirk, the alternate Kirk that she knew, but having to deal with this, in isolation, the watch is a reminder that, you know, it happened, right? Other people have suggested it could also be sort of a subtle indicator that that's not necessarily the end of this story, that we might see a reference to this story at some point in the future. Maybe we'll see, you know, retroactively, even that could be the case.
Uhura had a small role. It was effective for me though, because like she both gave looks in both shots. Yes. One was like, "What's your deal?" When like Lon was coming on the bridge, and at the end she was turned around. I was like, "What's going on here?" Yeah. Like those were her two looks, and it was awesome. They were like, it said it all. Like in her face.
I think the casting in general on all these modern Star Trek shows has been really great.
They've
got some excellent people, but I think it really hit the nail on the head with this Strange New Worlds main cast, because all these people are fantastic.
There was one funny Spock moment.
I shall make every effort to practice less vigorously going forward.
Every episode's going to have a funny Spock moment.
Well, especially when you consider the subtle implication that the playing of the harp business is in some ways a form of sexual release, right? Or a form of channeling sexual frustration.
We're not even calling it a looter, a liar. It's a harp now.
I mean, I don't know. I don't want to start a whole new thing.
I'm still undecided.
I'm agnostic on the whole thing, but the Vulcan harp.
Well, that really beats a sonic shower.
That really beats a sonic shower.
It beats.
It's definitely not a harp. I'm going to call it a harp, even though it's clearly not a harp because it's
sonic shower.
Get back to it. But yes, so that whole sexual tension thing, I know it's not only Spock's sexual tension, but the implication is that, you know, you got to strum this so you don't strum that.
What's T'Pring? What's T'Pring? Are we going to hear from T'Pring again? Probably not. Well, maybe.
We have to see what we know. We know where the Spock T'Pring relationship ends up. We know that
Mars.
because of Star Trek TOS, but we don't know exactly how it gets there. So we will presumably see some of that. Okay.
Sonic shower?
But before Sonic we, shower? Before we Sonic see any
shower?
Of that.
Sonic shower? Shower? We, shower?
We will be continuing our next episode. We'll be continuing our coverage of Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 2.
The computer simulation told me to.
It's going to be episode 4, which is, what is it? We're the
Lotus. Thank you.
We are the Lotus Eaters Eat Us. What was
we
it?
We are the Lotus Eaters.
Where the Lotus, where the Lotus Eaters play, where we dance on the lotus leaves. I know Lotus is in there somewhere. I watched the episode.
We can
these
dance
two
on the Lotus. We can leave your Spock behind.
I'm excited.
I haven't seen this
I'm
episode yet.
I'm super excited to talk about the Lotus. And that's going to be a full episode. And it's going to come out on Monday on our regular schedule. So this episode and the previous episode, we're squeezing in before that. But Monday, we'll be back on a regular schedule. And then from here on out, we will be just doing regular old new episodes of Strange New Worlds until it stops being new episodes of Strange New Worlds, and then we'll see what comes next. Presumably, ooh, Lower Decks is coming up soon, so we look forward to all of that. Stay with us, week in,
stay
week,
with us,
week out. You can't avoid us. We're here all the time.
You can't stop us.
But what you can do is you can find us on social media everywhere at It's Got Star Trek, and by everywhere we mean the dying flames of Twitter. Floating blue sky business,
time.
The
like
elephanty mastodon business, the threads is the new thing.
I don't even know what's going on anymore. You lost me.
Instagram, Facebook.
What about Pinterest?
YouTube. We're not on Pinterest.
Pinterest.
You can start a Pinterest if you want. I don't have
someone. One time I said Pinterest, and someone was like, it's Pinterest.
I couldn't care less.
And I was like, it's like inner interest. Like Owen Wilson says, interesting, you know?
Yeah.
It's interest,
yeah,
interest.
Did you beat
Pinterest,
them up?
Pinterest?
Beat them up?
Nah, because they were younger than me and I was like.
They were younger.
They were in better shape, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't want to look bad in front of them.
Right. Well, anyway, that's where you can find us. At It's Got Star Trek, most social media places, YouTube, etc. www.itsgotstartrek.com. If you want to go to the website, you can sort by show or movie and all that other stuff and do searches. And that's a great place to discover whether we've covered an episode you're interested in hearing us discuss.
There was a movie with a tagline, Bound for Blood, in Toronto. And I think the movie was just called Blood.
Right, good find. Yeah. That's one of those. It's not even an Easter egg. That's just something you saw on
Blood, on Bound TV. For Blood.
Where do you come
be
up?
Better
with
if
this
it
stuff?
Was. It was the other way. If the title was Bound for Blood, and the tagline was just Blood.
I agree. Okay. Oh yeah. What was the other thing? The other thing was, yes, we are coming up on our 200th episode. We are going to have a little celebratory 200th episode special.
Really?
Squeeze it in there.
This is amazing. Yeah.
And what would be wonderful would be if.
Wonderful.
We've already started, we've made this request a few times already, and we've already started receiving stuff from fans.
Responses.
Responses, yes. If you'd like to send in an email, or even better, if you would like to record a little message to us, it could be a question, could be
an answer,
a salutary comment. If you have a question for any of us about our
Chief O'Brien,
our favorite version of fried green tomatoes,
that's book, a question
the,
for
the
not
book,
me.
The food or the movie, mm-hmm. And that sort of thing. Any questions about podcasts, whatever, you know, send those in, and we're gonna read all those emails and play all those recordings on the 200th episode. We got some fun stuff planned there, so we're looking forward to that. We hope you are too. You can send that stuff to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. So yeah, that should do it for all that business. So until next episode, we hope you have a lovely old time.
Okay.
Bye-bye. That was great.
Maybe I missed my calling. Be nice to make an honest living for a change. Not that any of this stuff is stolen.